I wonder if rain would actually stop those frenzied shoppers rushing in to actually get their Black Friday bargains. We spoke about this, I think, first time last year. We're delighted to, again, focus once again on the phenomenon of Black Friday with a dynamic duo. Of course, it's always a delight, unparalleled, to actually say, consumer journalist and ace TV presenter Alice Beer. Good morning and welcome to the production. How are you, Alice?
Good morning. I'm very well. How are you?
Oh, fantastic stuff. And I believe we've also got from Asda, that would be Ayaz Alam. Is that right, Ayaz?
Good morning. Thank you, yes.
Good morning, Ayaz. As we said, I think it's wonderful that Asda selects their top folk from the basis of initials. AA for Asda. It's fantastic.
Yeah. Ayaz, and AB as well. We're all the stars of the alphabet. We just wanted to be first in the telephone directory. We're that competitive, the two of us.
Exactly. This is classic lines in every sense of the word. We have Emma Tinson in the studio here. Emma, you've been looking at this particular story. I mean, a phenomenon. Is this, I mean, the sort of the American shopping craze that it just gets bigger and bigger each year? Some of these figures, Alice, I mean, 60% of Asda's Black Friday stock sold in the first 2 hours alone, a month's worth of TVs in an hour. And just to confirm, as the 11,400 tablets weren't to do with medicinal things. They were actually sort of electronic tablets.
No, they were not.
They were the ibuprofen you needed after shopping experience, really.
Exactly. I mean, Alice, is this a case of that Boxing Day, oh, it's so last century, it's now Black Friday?
Well, I think I'm personally very, very happy to have a great retail marker in the calendar moved from the day after Christmas to a month before Christmas. It makes much more sense for me, and it makes much more sense of the whole enjoyment of the Christmas period. We all have a list. We all need to tick things off. It doesn't matter how frugal you're being this Christmas or how through necessity or want, you have a list and you have to buy some things. Now, if we can tick them off the month before Christmas at half price, then so much the better for consumers. And what I find extraordinary is that this time last year, where Asda and to some extent Amazon had introduced Black Friday from America, not many people had really heard about it. They were talking about it a little bit and there were bargains to be had. Asda obviously had a phenomenal excess financially on Black Friday. And this year, it's absolutely everywhere. And it's not just Black Friday, it's Thursday, it's Saturday, it's Sunday, but it's taken over. And this is a date that will punctuate our spending calendar for years to come, mark my word.
I still would like to change the nomenclature, though. I think maybe Thanksgiving Friday would be slightly better as opposed to Black
Friday. Yeah, or Big Friday or Fast Friday. It's slightly odd, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think it became Black Friday historically because where it started in America, it coincided with obviously the end of Thanksgiving. Everyone went out to grab deals in the shops and there was a big sporting event. And I think it was in Philadelphia where it just went nuts and the traffic was horrendous. And I think the establishment named it Black Friday because actually it was really quite a bleak day in terms of getting around and getting anything done. But no, it doesn't seem appropriate because actually it should be. This is Big Friday. This is the day. This is or List Friday or let's come up with a new phrase.
We certainly, I mean, as Phil Leonis, our Los Angeles film correspondent, actually said yesterday, it was very much a case of just let everybody cross the border day. If you're shopping, just go for it. You know, Canada to the world. It's amazing. Emma, questions for yourself.
Yeah, I mean, do you know actually how it came about? Like, was it because of Thanksgiving? We're giving thanks and now we're going to treat ourselves
for
the day.
The history of Black Friday.
Well, that would be very lovely, wouldn't it, really, that you think you're going to treat each other. But no, it actually was that the retailers were going to offer great bargains the day after. It was in Philadelphia for them. You know, you signified that Thanksgiving was over and this was the day that we started our Christmas shopping. So they wanted as many people through the doors. And in Philadelphia, it happened to coincide with a big annual Army and Navy American football match. And this was in the 50s and 60s. It's been sort of shifted alongside Thanksgiving to come forward to give people that month of shopping up until Christmas. So there's nothing really, it is all retail, there's nothing sort of historically gorgeous about it. It's all about the spend and all about the shops. But actually, if you're going to spend and you're going to go to the shops anyway, you might as well get yourself a bargain.
Well, let's turn to Ayaz at this particular point, because I had to do a double take when I read this. Quad bikes? Quad bikes, Ayaz? What are you doing offering quad bikes in a supermarket for? It's outrageous, really, isn't it?
It is outrageous, but you know what? We're trying to show that with our fantastic buying power that we're able to generate by working with Walmart, we can offer the kind of products that no one else in the UK can. And, you know, this is just us flexing our ability to buy products that no one else can. And, you know, this is just an exciting, fun product that we're offering to those customers that might have been thinking about buying one or were in the market for one, and why not come to Asda and save yourself some money on it?
Well, thinking strategically, I suppose, if you actually purchase the quad bike first, if you've got aisles that are fairly wide in the supermarket, it could give you a head start.
I'm loving this. Where are we going here?
It's got a winch on it, so if you need to drag all your shopping home, you can do that as well.
Amazing.
I'm sitting on one right now as we do the interview. You know, I just want you to have that picture in your head. I've got a helmet on, and I'm at my quad bike.
This is the kind of experience that Rachel, the producer, provides, you know, for all On Broadcast fans. She's just so good at that, you know. It's amazing. I visualise the whole thing from that point of view. It is overall good news, though, Alice, I take it, in terms of obviously, I know we have this line about, oh, it's an American thing and consumerism is good and if you buy things you feel better, etc. And we know there's a whole range of things for that, but ultimately this is good news for British retail, I presume.
Oh, it's fantastic news for British retailers. You know, as I was saying, you know, they sold last year, they sold 60% of their stock, of their Black Friday stock, in the first 2 hours alone. This year, it's going to be bigger, it's going to be better, it's going to be, you know, times X. It's going to be huge, and all the more so because all the other retailers picked up on it. What's really hysterical today, you know, is listening to all the talk about it, and people are on their phones. They're talking amongst themselves when they're going to release the prices, that great big price release, because everyone wants to be lowest. So if they wait until the last possible moment tonight, then nobody can get the new prices to beat them through their system. So what does that mean for consumers? It means everyone's trying to be the lowest they possibly can, and that can only be a good thing. Of course, I don't want people spending beyond their budget. I don't want people getting themselves in debt. I think it's completely unnecessary to get morally wrong to get into debt for Christmas. But if you have a shopping list and you have toys, you know, some of them for the very young, you have electrical toys for the sort of teenagers, or you have the TVs that you want to buy before Christmas, if they are on your list anyway, then get them now at a rational, good, half-price deal. You know, get them now and be organised before Christmas, because I always think that the longer you leave it, the closer to the big day, the more you are going to spend. That hysteria kicks in and you throw money at it. Don't do that. Step back. Do it now. Get your list done. You've still got time for tomorrow, and then you can sit back and enjoy it with a glass of eggnog, whatever eggnog may be.
And that Alice, is why you are our ace consumer journalist extraordinaire. Emma, presumably sage advice. Would you be doing anything from the student perspective? I mean, getting out to Lincoln's Asda and so on and sorting that thing through?
I don't know. I have to get up very early because I have busy days on Friday. I might, if I wake up in time, I might head down to the
shops.
It could
be there. And of course, back to yourself, Ayaz. Alice was talking about the prices there. It's 5 p.m. 1700 hours that we see these prices there. Is the website the best place to go, or do you just wait outside Asda and decide to actually sleep overnight to get first in the queue?
You can do that if you want, if you need to start queuing early to bag the deal. But if you go to www.asda.com, you'll start to see the information clearly on there.
Well, that makes perfect
sense. I might
sense.
Have to go and do that.
Alice, will you be...
Now she's tempted, isn't she? Now she's tempted.
Students and consumerism, Alice. There's a whole range of things we can actually work through on that basis.
Students get the best deals around at the moment. If I could get myself a student card, I blooming well would. I don't know how you can get hold of them. They're like gold dust.
And that is why Alice is the consumer expert on ITV's This Morning and more. Time's moving on rapidly. We're heading up to the news in a few moments, but we've got two final questions for both your good self, Ayaz, and, of course, Alice. Have you had a recently interesting telephonic link with us on the show this morning? And has it been not too stressful, we trust, as you psych yourself up for the onset of Black Friday?
It's been as stimulating as a double shot.
Nice.
It's been as warm and comfortable as a large latte. And, it set me up for the rest of the day.
Oh, there we are. So I take it then we can look forward to hopefully featuring again, if not next year, with Black Friday 2015, but certainly in the near future, as of course, consumer matters go into all sorts of hyperdrive things, etc. Will you both return to the Midweek Drive Morning Edition?
Oh, I think so. Shall we go back? What do you reckon?
I'd love to.
Okay, let's take this quad bike and ride it straight up there now. We're on our way to Lincoln.
Action adventure personified. Alice Beer and Ayaz Alam, many thanks indeed. After the news, we'll be going to BBC Humberside's Andy Comfort. Plus, of course, we've got William Sitwell, the editor of Waitrose magazine, to get their views on the joys of Black Friday or stresses of Black Friday. We'll also be talking about National Careers Work as well and apprenticeships and a whole heap of other goodies. All this and more on Lincoln's award-winning radio station, East Midlands Radio Station of the Year. That will be Siren 107.3 FM after the news from the Sky News Centre.
Hi, I'm Rachel from On Broadcast, and you're listening to Alex Levchuk on the Midweek Drive.
Well done. Rachel, of course, being responsible for putting Alice Beer on a quad bike. Only kidding. It's the power of the mind. Well, maybe she really is. Weather today, highs of 10 degrees centigrade, lows of 9 degrees centigrade. It's going to be a cloudy and misty day with occasional rain or drizzle.
Occasional.
Exactly. So it can't quite make its mind. No, exactly. And as we said, nice weather for ducks, but no, there will not be any duck impersonations because the last I did that, the whole phone system went completely doolally on the whole system. So moving on, we will hopefully be speaking to William Sitwell first as opposed to Andy Comfort. That's as you can get through because William has actually said he's got a dodgy signal. Apologies to the village.
Oh no.
So I mean, he's already predicting a dodgy signal before we've even tried. I have left one message. If not, Andy Comfort is definitely up very, very shortly with respect to a whole range of other factors. Plus, of course, we've got Karen Woodward and Joe Hemmings. Because not only have we actually got Frenzied Friday, Frenzied Black Friday, but we've also got a week on Saturday, Small Business Saturday.
Ooh, oh. Very interesting.
Renaissance man, congratulating you on your excellent taste for choosing this station and podcast.
I see. Okay, we're going to try live now to actually reach the Sitwell Meister. Who knows what the result will actually be. If not, we'll try and leave a mildly entertaining message on the voicemail because that's the kind of thing we actually do just because, well, I like to be think we're kind like that, really.
We're just that lovely.
I'd like to think so. Let's see what actually happens in terms of whether the connection is made at all, because it probably, I don't think it's not sounding good at all. In fact, not seeing anything at all. But this is not unusual, because in times past, it's just cut straight to the voicemail message.
This is William Sitwell, there you are. Message, and I'll call you back as soon as I can.
Yes.
When you finish recording, please hang up.
She sounds a lot brighter than William. That's
for more
said.
Options.
Oh. Don't know.
There we are. Well, William, we could tell by the voicemail outgoing message you left there that you're a little bit glum that the signal is causing problems. And to be fair, you did say dodgy signal. Apologies
very,
to the
very
village.
Sad.
It is actually because you know we were all set to you know regale you with last week. Of course, we couldn't reveal the news. Or could we? Anyway, we couldn't reveal the news because the news hadn't been made available then. That in fact, sharing the award season with your good self. Not only were you editor of the year, but Siren FM actually won the accolade for the second year running of becoming East Midlands Radio Station of the Year, thanks to those fine people. Again, to Radio Academy.
And we're very proud.
Well, exactly. And I like to think you're part of that, William. So there we are. That's the news. We've circulated that, and we hope, you know, genuinely that all's well with the world and that the signal gets sorted out, because I know what it's like when you're dealing with mobile phones, particularly if they're smart ones, because
yes,
they're not really that smart.
True.
at times. Well, so. Anyway, thank you, William. We salute you. And there we are. Obviously, call us back if you want, but probably won't. Anyway, that's our little sort of tribute to the whole thing. Let's have a look at John Wenham's diary again. No, it's all right, John. We're not asking you down to the studio. Sorry. It's like Dad, so keen. Coming up next week, of course, it's the Lincoln Christmas Market, Emma.
I'm really excited.
Were you there last year? Did you go and see
I did go to the Christmas Market last year. I went on, I think it was either the last day or the second. I think it was the Saturday I went on last year. Oh. And it was very cold,
yes.
But it didn't matter because we had Christmas spirit. And
exactly.
It was lovely.
Or Vine or such like. Weinstein. Nikki Wells will actually tell you all about that because she is German, even though she lives in Lincolnshire, and is a fine author who's got another Christmas book out following her rock star romance trilogy and a whole heap of other setups, etc. But Siren FM will be getting together with our colleagues from Lincoln City Radio to actually cover the launch of the Christmas market. That'll be Ed Wellman, Nikki Wells, Andrew David. And I believe Malcolm from Lincoln City Radio will be there. I think it's Malcolm Thompson. I could be wrong. I think it's Malcolm Tomlinson. No, it's not Malcolm Tomlinson. Malcolm Tomlinson is ours. It could be Malcolm. Anyway, the Christmas market taking place from the cathedral through Castle Square, the castle grounds and the lawn centre. Always great disruption as far as the traffic flow is concerned. One-way system. The areas around Newport, Balegate, Burton Road and all streets adjoining the areas will be closed to through traffic and only permit holders will be allowed to pass through. A reminder, there'll be no parking along the Burton Road from Yarborough Crescent nor the Rise Home Road from Longdale's Road and to the Lincoln Bypass. And yes, you've just heard me do another traffic announcement. It's rare, but there we are.
So basically walk
or
get the train.
Or park and ride. Park
yes,
and ride
park
system.
And ride.
Park and ride system is actually in operation from Lincolnshire Showground. I took that a couple of years ago, actually. I mean, I didn't go last year. I haven't been for a few years, in fact, but we used the park and ride and it was okay. It does work. So use the park and ride from Lincolnshire Showground. And of course, you've also got English Heritage inviting visitors to go medieval this Christmas at Lincoln Medieval Bishop's Palace as revellers to the Lincoln Christmas Market are invited to browse the range of historic market stalls. When it says go medieval, presumably we're not looking at bubonic plague and going for executions and decapitations as well.
I hope not.
I would hope so, because it'd be very messy and not in keeping with the Christmas spirit.
No, not really.
So I just want to work through it. But apparently the event at the palace was going to be bigger and better than before, as visitors will be transported back. You see, transported back in time.
Wow.
Hope they got their passports. opportunity to chat to traders in medieval costume amid period music and possibly purchase something extra for their loved ones.
Aww, how sweet.
From medieval times. Could be a relic, of course. They could have a relic of a sort of saint who's a bit of bone. That'd be quite nice. Actually use that. That'd be thought that counts there. Anyway, we were talking about Black Friday. What about the Rolling Stones and Ruby Tuesday?
She would never say where she came from. Yesterday don't matter if it's gone. While the sun is bright or in the darkest night, no one knows. She comes and goes.
I suppose when the web works in the way that we anticipate it being working and all sorts of things, you can actually use those wonderful Google things to say images of Andy Comfort or text Andy Comfort. We go for images of Andy Comfort and you see a whole range of them, some of which indeed is definitely Andy Comfort and others I think, no, that's definitely not Andy Comfort. You know, you did say with Alex Leftuke as well. The Ipswich Town, that's definitely Andy Comfort. But the only way to actually confirm that it is the definite Andy Comfort is to actually say, Andy Comfort, is that definitely you?
I think so, yeah.
Great! Fantastic. Sigh of relief all around there. And you follow ace consumer specialist Alice Beer, talking, of course, about the rush for Black Friday bargains. Is it going to be happening in Hull tomorrow? I mean, that's what we need to know. I mean, we've already established in Lincoln that, Emma, you're talking about getting your sleeping bag out to sort of stay there, you know, to purchase the quad bike to actually go around the store. That was only.
How good would it be if I came to lectures on a quad bike?
good, but also a little bit dangerous as well, it has to be said.
No, it'd be fun.
Ask Ozzy Osbourne. I shall say no more. But yeah, so what are you covering it? Or is it a case of, no, with the BBC, we don't do commercial stuff from that point of view, for goodness sakes?
No, we've mentioned it. I know that this morning, as I speak on BBC Radio Humberstone, my colleague Burns is talking about Black Friday, yeah. Just previewing what there is, and I think talking to consumer specialists and finding out what it will happen, whether it'll be busy or not. Funny enough, just glancing at my emails now, and I see of my 300 emails, two of them are about Black Friday, so everyone's talking about it.
And that's once again, that, Emma, is one of the reasons we've been awarded East Midlands Radio Station of the Year, second year running. We actually did Black Friday before 9 o'clock. We did it in there, yeah, just a little bit beforehand, just that little bit extra.
Yes, congratulations.
Well, as I said in the run-up for this particular programme, it's award-winning drive-time host for BBC Humberside and makes a welcome return to the show, because you are also award-winning, Andy, let's face it. So, yes, it's nice to share that award stuff. And sooner or later, I don't quite know what the Radio Academy were actually thinking, ignoring yourself and actually inducting Vanessa Feltz into the Hall of Fame. Next year. Yeah. Next year, you know?
Next year. Yes. And what I always say to people is, because, of course, the Radio Academy, I mean, now we know there'll be no awards next year. But,
not exactly. And, of course, after Siren winning it twice, you can't go any further than that, can you, really?
And I always tell people, because Sony took the sponsorship away, they ended the sponsorship deal with the Radio Academy Awards, that BBC Radio Humberside will always be the Sony Station of the Year, because we were the last one.
Exactly.
So. Exactly. I think we should just market that. We'll always be the Sony Station of the Year.
Yeah. And that's the kind of magic that just opens up a whole range of other factors. Actually, one of these images of Andy Comfort, I actually sort of took the thing myself. It was one of the things that we actually took at this very university when you were with Alison Moore. In fact, I actually have BBC Humberside Breakfast Host. Oh, those were the days. Oh, Andy Comfort in top form at Lincoln.
Oh, lovely.
Emma is our official Surrey correspondent and level 2 journalism student extraordinaire. And I mean, obviously, you get indoctrinated with that other station. It's up the hill. It's called Lincolnshire. sorry. You know where my heart always lies. Although, to be fair, I did actually do a piece for BBC Lincolnshire yesterday where I was asked to chunter on about. What was I asked to chunter on about? Oh, yes. The impact of Facebook in terms of social media and Islamic terrorism. And obviously the tragedy of the which is, you know, as you know, Andy, we've known each other a number of years. I'm quite happy to talk about a number of sort of topics. So yeah, let's run with that.
An avid Facebook user, so.
Well, when you say an avid Facebook user, I mean, stuff goes up there, but I tend to not sort of...
You're not addicted.
No. I mean, it's just dangerous.
Yes,
you know, that's
true.
And as I revealed today, Andy, very important week for me this week, because I took delivery of my first ever smartphone.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
wow. Yeah. Very good. Is it one of those bricks with, you know, attached to the battery and the aerial?
It's got a touch screen. It's very exciting. Yeah.
It even says, use the headphones as an aerial. Use the headphones as an aerial to listen to radio on your smartphone. Very good. Listen, last year, Andy, about this time, we were really beginning to get excited because it was pantomime time. Is pantomime time happening again? Are you pantomiming? Or is it a case of, no, we're not having pantomime this year? What's pantomiming in terms of
BBC
episode?
We are. We are doing another BBC pantomime in January. We used to do them in December, then do some repeats in January. But now we've decided we do them completely in January. I mean, so many things happen in December, and that actually January is quite a good time. People are on a bit of a low after Christmas and New Year. So we do our pantomime the last weekend in January. We've added an extra date, possibly an extra 2 days.
If Take That have to add extra dates, then surely Andy Comfort has to add it for the pantomime. Yeah.
It's going to be quite a run, actually. It's like a West End run, only we've got full-time jobs to do as well. Oh, so it's going to be quite fun. We're doing the last weekend of January. We're doing the Wednesday night in Cleethorpes, our traditional Cleethorpes night. Then we're in Bridlington for a debut in Bridlington at the Spa Bridlington. And then we have 4 shows in Hull, possibly 5 shows in Hull, depending on how they sell at a new venue, St Mary's College in Hull. And it's Dick Whittington we're doing. The rehearsal started on Monday.
All this way to London and still no sign. No, I can't go that.
Turn again.
Exactly. Are the streets paved with gold? Who's playing the Pussycat, by the way? Because Emma will be up for that, I'm sure, you know, if you're still casting.
Yes. I don't know. We're debating whether we have rattling for King Rat, because I'm King Rat the baddie, but...
Surely it's difficult to tell, isn't it?
Every year. And I try, you know, I try and be as nice as I can to the director, you know, as the year goes on, thinking, you know, every year, though, the baddie.
But so, the villains are always the best. They are, so exciting.
Yeah, they are.
Particularly if you have a received pronunciation accent, Andy, because then you could be the villain in every Hollywood movie, because obviously anybody who's got a British accent is clearly, it's outrageous.
Oh, yeah.
A couple of comments to sort of share with us, Andy, in terms of, obviously, we'll talk about how you get tickets in a few moments, but earlier in the programme, we were speaking to Richard Fitzwilliams, of course, who is our ace film critic and indeed erstwhile editor of International Who's Who. I think he's not impressed with Who's Who this year, certainly, as indeed his feature in the Daily Mail today actually proves. But he was quite shocked, as indeed was the author of Paddington Bear, that it was actually given a 12 certificate. Were you equally shocked, Andy? Is it a case of, well, obviously, it's a scary bear. You're going to obviously have to classify that. I mean, you've got young children. That's why I asked the question. You know, you think Paddington, we can't take them to see Paddington. They'll be frightened by Nicole Kidman's hairstyle.
Possibly I'm not shocked in that I think Pudsey Bear should be given some sort of parental guidance certificate after Pudsey Bear made my little two-year-old boy cry on Children in Need night at the Grimsby Auditorium. We were doing our Dancing in Need, and Pudsey came up and shook paws with little Xander, and he burst into tears and hugged me and hid behind me. So, naughty Pudsey, making him cry. So I wonder if Pudsey's a bit scary. So perhaps Paddington Bear should be a PG then.
Yeah. Well, I mean, as one of the inhabitants of Pudsey Bear, one of his deputies, is now actually working in a full-time post for BBC Lincolnshire, and indeed used to be a former midweek driver, so Natasha Turney, I'm not surprised. Very scary. Campus yesterday. Desperately scary in all sorts of ways. Emma, any other questions you want to put to Andy, such as, obviously, when can we come and see? Because last year I sort of thought we should go and see it, and this year I thought, oh, exactly. Cleethorpes. Bridlington, St Mary's College Hall.
Yeah, these, it's not far.
All
not
you needed
far.
Is Skegness and you've got the perfect tour, you know. That's the classic line. But, you know, maybe it's out of the area. However, Emma, questions for yourself.
Yeah, well, I wanted to know, actually, how did you originally get into doing stuff with BBC Humberside?
Let's say. Now, there's a question he's never asked, been asked before.
I'm curious. So it's a budding journalist.
This is very true. This is Andy, you take on the Obi-Wan mentor moment. So off you go.
How did I get in? Well, first of all, I started life as a teacher, actually my working life as a teacher, and I was in Scotland, and actually after a couple of years thought, you know, the other thing I'd always wanted to do when I was at school was I wanted to read the news on the radio and I wanted to teach. And I was teaching, and actually I thought, I'm getting a bit bored with this. I don't think I can see myself doing this in 20, 30 years' time. So I thought, I need to change. So luckily a friend of mine was producing a programme at Radio Scotland. And I said, look, is there any work, you know? And he said, well, look, do me a little piece, a package, as they call it, in the radio world, and I'll have a listen to it. And he gave me some guidance and help, and he said, if we use it, we'll pay you, and that happened. And then I kept applying for jobs at the BBC. I applied for goodness knows how many and got goodness knows how many rejections, and eventually I got a researcher's job at Radio Scotland, which was supposed to be for 3 weeks and ended up being for a year. They kept renewing it, and I applied for the BBC trainee reporter scheme for local radio. Sadly, they don't do that anymore, but there are new trainee schemes out and about there now. But I did that, 12 of us in London, a bit like The Apprentice, except you didn't get somebody fired every week, which was quite good. But and that was a year-long course. At the end of it, you were more or less guaranteed a BBC contract at a local radio station, and I ended up in Grimsby as Grimsby reporter for BBC Radio Humberside, and then they gave me a job, and the rest is history, and so I worked my way through BBC Radio Humberside, and I've now been at Radio Humberside for over 20 years.
Fantastic.
It is quite astounding when you bury
it's quite a so, journey.
Yeah, just as I was sort of kicking off the joys of the University of Humberside and Siren was just beginning to... there was I feel as though we've kind of run parallel lives in some strange and spooky areas.
We have, haven't we? We've had a journey together.
And it is the journey that's obviously the most important part, as most reality TV shows would actually attest to, really. It's just share the... Here are the best bits. The best bits, of course, are still to come. That's my line.
That's right.
They're still to come.
Yeah.
And I mean, obviously, now you've bedded down into drive time after obviously a good few years doing the breakfast stuff, etc. Is that proving to be as joyous and successful as it is now that you can actually take your children to school?
Yes, I love it now. It's a different way of life for me. I mean, I was going into work at 4 a.m, so you know the alarm was going off at 3:15, which is like a night shift, middle of the night, when you do that, winter in, winter out, and I mean, I did the breakfast show for 15 and a half years, and coming off that, it's a bit of a culture shock initially, but you know, honestly, people were saying to me, oh, I expect it'll take you a while to adapt to a new lifestyle, and I think by the Tuesday of the first week, I thought, hey, this is great, and I've not looked back, and I love the show. It's a nice program to do drive time, you don't know what's happening, and unlike breakfast where you go in and you've got an idea because you've produced it the day before and you know you left at lunchtime early afternoon and they were getting the program ready, you go in for drive time and it's produced on the day. We don't know what the news is going to be. Sometimes we do, but you have a rough idea. But the other beauty of it is, which I mean you can't say in many jobs I guess, and I'm very very lucky now, is that when I leave the building just after 6 o'clock, having read the 6 o'clock news in the evening, that's it. I don't have to take sort of stress and work home with me. In the morning, it's a fresh start, and let's see what tomorrow brings. So you're working to deadlines, which is, but that's what you know, part of the job. That's the buzz, and going on air, and that's the buzz of it. But yes, I'm absolutely loving it.
See, positive all the way. It's like a fresh breath out, really. We do have our colleagues up the hill listening. Only kidding, Charlie Partridge. We know it's all good. He's not going to be listening to this program.
Hello, Charlie.
Nice. Always good, because you always want to keep those options open.
Yeah, well, if Charlie is listening, I'll tell you, funny, I mean, you know how protective radio stations can be about their area.
Oh,
you mentioned Skegness,
so yes.
We wouldn't dream of being a panther in Skegness. that would be tanks on the lawn, wouldn't it? You know?
The phrase, exactly. That's the whole thing.
Yeah. We do have a little a sort of tongue-in-cheek battle, and every time I play a track by Ella Henderson, I always say, and here's our Ella. I say, from Tetley, in the shadow of the Grimsby Dock Tower. And I understand our colleagues up the hill there in Lincoln refer to her as Lincolnshire's Ella Henderson. So we have a bit of a jape about that.
I think it's absolutely critical, and obviously being from Middlesbrough, I like to take a sort of unbiased approach in the whole sort of system, basically, as we work through that. Finally, we can't let you go without talking about Ipswich Town and your thoughts with respect to Ipswich. I mean, do you think that this could be the year where finally Mick McCarthy actually does things and you get a restoration to the Premier League?
Well, I'll tell you what, I think now Ipswich fans will be disappointed if we're not certainly in the playoffs come the end of season. You know, there may be some who'll be looking at top two. I don't think Mick is. I think what Mick McCarthy likes is the fact that we've been a bit under the radar and we're unfashionable and nobody's really talked about us. And now, you know, people can go, oh, they're doing well. You know, we're fourth at the moment, I think, and a very good, creditable 2-2 draw away at Bournemouth at the weekend. I'm delighted with him. I think he's the best manager we've had since George Burley, and George Burley was a very fine manager for Ipswich. I think Mick McCarthy's doing a cracking job. I think when he took over, we were at the bottom, and it nearly got us into the playoffs last season.
And so, George Burley was the best manager since Sir Bobby Robson, and Sir Bobby Robson was the best manager since Sir Ralph Ramsey.
Absolutely correct. Yes, you have it nailed.
That's a Man City fan talking, who obviously had a great relief with the 3-2 result against Bayern Munich and Sergio Aguero. But that's another line entirely. Emma, last two questions for Andy before we provide him with one little task to do, which is nice. Ridley. He doesn't know about this yet, but he will. Off you go.
Of course, Andy. Have you had a reasonably good telephonic link with us today?
More than reasonably good. I would say very good.
Oh, lovely. And will you be joining us again on the show anytime soon?
If I'm invited back, then that would be lovely.
I'm sure we will.
It's essential. It's very much. I mean,
you've
guilty.
Been nice been... enough. So.
it's
absolutely spot on. Andy, we have Ghost coming up now by an artiste we've just been talking about. It's over to you to do the full introduction on this. And you can do it in whichever way you like from the point of view where you actually see the young lady coming from.
Absolutely. And hello to everybody listening in Lincolnshire. And here is Ella Henderson from the north end of the county in the shadow of the Grimsby Dock Tower with Ghost.
I keep going to the river to pray, cause I need something that can wash out the pain. And I'm sleeping all these demons away. What's your ghost? The ghost of you, it keeps me awake. My friends, I defeat.